Welcome to High Cheese. It's Friday, March 22nd, 2024. Now let's take a look at history. The history of communism. And what's one of the first things that they tried to do when the communists take over? You see it in the Russian Revolution in 1917. You see it with Fidel Castro in Cuba. One of the first things they go after is people's property. And before I forget, I've mentioned this quite a bit. If you want to take a look at what communists do, just take a look at the movie Dr. Zhivago. You know, first 20 minutes, first half hour, first hour. It'll tell you how the communists work. Take people's property. Take people's private property that they worked hard for. And this is what Letitia James is doing to Donald Trump right now. And it's a warning sign to all of us Americans, because if they can do it to Donald Trump, they can do it to you. Now, Donald Trump went through this bogus court hearing with an illegitimate judge, a corrupt judge, fined him $355 million for fraud that didn't take place. The judge determined the assets that Trump should have used when getting a loan from a bank, which he paid back, by the way. And by the way, another cornerstone of communism are corrupt judges. So in order for Donald Trump to appeal, he had to get a bond for about $500 million. Because if you add up the initial judgment plus the interest, we're at about $500 million. So Donald Trump's having a difficult time getting this bond. Now, Donald Trump is a billionaire, but you have to realize, when someone says they're a billionaire, it doesn't mean they have $1 billion in cash sitting in their bank account. It's the value of all of his assets, less his liabilities. And believe you me, they can do it to Donald Trump, they can do it to you. And if we allow it to continue, they will do it to you. Now, I know many Cuban Americans, and the interesting thing is, when you talk to the Cuban old-timers, they'll tell you about, once Fidel came into power, they took their family's property, essentially kicked them out of the country at gunpoint. And this is how they operate. And Letitia James is operating in the same way that Fidel Castro did during the Cuban Revolution. And that's part of her playbook. So now she wants to seize Donald Trump's assets. She's got her eyes on an estate in Westchester County, New York. She's got her eyes on a golf course upstate. I think she's got her eyes on Trump Tower, a couple of other Trump buildings in New York City. And she wants to take them. Now, the upside is, I think Donald Trump is going to petition the Supreme Court to have them take a look at this. And then there should be a result, because at some point, somewhere along the line in this appeal process, that there's going to be some judge or some group of judges that say, this is ridiculous what they're doing to Trump. And hopefully it may not have to go to the Supreme Court for Trump to get justice, but it may happen. And eventually, Trump will get justice. But remember this when you go to the voting booth. Not just the big guys they're going to go after. It's all the other people that disagree with what big government wants, what the deep state wants, what the globalists want, because they can't tolerate it. Ha! And this just in. Isn't it funny how God works? Now, it was just announced today that a special purpose acquisition company called DWAC, it trades under the symbol DWAC, has voted to merge with Donald Trump's social media company to form a new company, DJT. And that stock is going to start trading on the stock market next week. And Donald Trump will net up to $4 billion by the merger of this company with Donald Trump's company. Now, I got to fully disclose here, I own stock in that company, DWAC, that's merging with Donald Trump's company. Now, I'm not netting $4 billion, far from it. But Donald Trump will now be able to pay Letitia's bond. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, Letitia. And just a word of warning to anyone out there that wants to short this stock to drive the price down just to hurt Donald Trump. If anyone out there is listening that wants to short this stock, I will make sure I am part of a short squeeze. Me and thousands of Americans will make sure that you lose money trying to short this stock. So we shall see. With that said, I want to switch over to a clip with Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro started his, I think it was a 4-month prison sentence for not responding to a subpoena by the J6 committee. 75-year-old man they're putting in prison for a misdemeanor. That's all this is, a misdemeanor. You know what a misdemeanor is? Like jaywalking. That's what a misdemeanor is. Yet, Peter Navarro, close advisor to Donald Trump, is doing 4 months in jail in Miami. So let's go to the clip and then we'll come back and discuss.
It starts with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who forms the J6 committee, blows away all the rules improperly constituted, unduly authorized, and unlawful committee. She puts on 7 Democrats, every single one of them, fact checking, every single one of those went after Donald Trump through 2 impeachments and the Russia hoax, and all they want to do is stop Trump. And the 2 Republicans on there were not Republicans at all. Liz Cheney, who hates Donald Trump because Trump told the truth about her daddy. Her daddy killed people with the Iraq and Afghanistan war. Everybody in this country knows that. Pelosi, the J6 committee, they subpoenaed me. The Congress itself, when they voted my contempt charge, a strict party vote line. If the House had been held by Republicans, I wouldn't be here. The Democrats pushed me, what? And then we get the Department of Justice. Boy, is that a misnomer now. The 2 prosecutors in the case, one of them, we got a letter she wrote to Bill Barr showing her Never Trump credentials. And they are the ones who, during the trial, consistently insisted I was acting above the law when they wouldn't let me explain to the jury why I was obeying the law. Then it goes to the jury. Did I mention the jury? Look, but would you, as a Republican and a member of the Trump administration, want to sit before 12 people drawn from a voter registration pool in which 95% of the people voted for Joe Biden? That's astonishing. The judge who stripped me of the defenses fact-checked me on this. Before he got appointed to the bench by Barack Obama, he was what's called a bundler. You know what a bundler is? He bundled checks to give to the campaign of candidate Obama. And coincidentally, he winds up on the bench. Democrat, 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 Democrat. From start to finish. This is the partisan weaponization of our judicial system.
And that was Navarro's press conference before he went into prison. Now, Navarro's a Harvard-educated economist. He's one of the leading advisors to Donald Trump. And he's going to prison. One thing that's not in the press conference clip is that he was denied release while he appealed the jury ruling, which is not normal. Most places, they release somebody while the appeals process is going on. But they didn't do this for Navarro. They wanted to stick it to him real good. And I just want to point out, Eric Holder, remember Eric Holder? He was Obama's attorney general. He defied the congressional subpoena. And what happened to him? Nothing. Nothing happened to him. So we shall see. Okay, I want to read an article here. It's from the Daily Mail. And the headline says, Tyson Food boycotted as it sacks 1,300 staff at Iowa pork processing plant and offers job and lawyer packages in a bid to hire 42,000 asylum seekers in New York. Let me put this into context. The CEO of Tyson Food is a contributor to Joe Biden, is a contributor to Nikki Haley, and he just loves this merger between corporate America and big government at the expense of the American people. So here's the big to-do. This is what they're saying. They said, oh, we're going to pay these people $16.50 an hour. And we can't find enough American workers to do these jobs. Well, why don't you pay a little more? And maybe then you'll get some American workers. Because think about it, $16.50 an hour, that comes to out, if you work full-time, comes out to about $34,000 a year. Do you think an American today can survive on $34,000 a year with inflation, healthcare, cost of housing? It's impossible. But these corporations don't want to pay it. And that's why they're for this mass migration into this country, cheap labor. And this is what the replacement theory is. We don't like where the working and middle class are right now politically or with what they're asking for in wages. We'll just bring some new people in, dilute their wages. And here's the kicker that for me is that Tyson's hiring these illegals at $16.50 an hour. Guess who's paying their health care? You and me, because the federal government is providing these so-called asylum seekers with health care. And that's the double whammy. They're diluting your wages, and you're paying for the people that are taking your jobs. You're paying for their health care, you're paying for their housing, and they take your jobs. I spoke about an article from the New York Times that was about 6 months ago, and they were talking about how these companies are now hiring children, immigrant children, to work in their factories. They don't care. They want to get the lowest pay possible for people and then stick the rest of the American people with the cost of their health care, their housing. But this is what happens when you get the merger of big corporations with big government. You and I pay for this. And again, I've said this before, it's not just about the working class. Managers, middle managers, upper middle managers, they're looking to replace you. So you're going to be in the same boat. It's just working class that's getting hit first. So you may ask, hey, Darren, how can they even work in the States? It's because the Biden administration gave them work papers. And listen to this government statistic. And this is directly from the federal government statistics. All of the new jobs, or most of the new jobs that have been created under the Biden administration, have gone to foreign-born workers. And you got to understand why the Latino community does not like Biden and supports Donald Trump. Some of these plants that they were closing were staffed by up to 50% Latinos. So those Latino Americans are out of jobs. But the migrants, these so-called asylum seekers, they just took them. That's the great replacement. And now you've got CNN and mainstream media out there trying to push this whole narrative that, oh, we need these illegals. And they talk about, oh, the illegals are good for the GDP. It expands the GDP. Yeah, on the margins, maybe. Because the government has to feed these asylum seekers. They got to buy food for them. They got to buy housing for them. And that adds to GDP on the margins. But what they're not telling you is the cost. And I saw a study that came out and said that, well, even if these migrants worked, I think they would add about $250 a year to government coffers. That's not a lot, but here's what they're not telling you. The cost of educating the sons and daughters of these asylum seekers in the school system, the cost to house them, and more than outweighs the benefit of them adding $250 a year to the American tax coffers on average. But the mainstream media doesn't want you to know that. CNN's a big pusher of this. They're coming out with stories about, oh, I'm a contractor. I can't find any electricians. So it's good that we have migrants. So and here's what he said. Oh, I need electricians. I need carpenters. I need skilled people. Certified electricians. Certified carpenters. Carded carpenters. Carded electricians. You're not going to find them in the asylum seekers. But the CNN is trying to conflate the two. And believe you me, you can take care of the needs for that construction company owner with legal immigration. But CNN is pushing the agenda of the globalists and the Democrat Party. Now, I want to go to another article that shows us the merger of big corporations with big government. And this is from CNBC. And the headline says, Intel awarded up to $8.5 billion in grants with billions more in loans available. Stock goes up. Intel is in line to receive as much as $8.5 billion in direct funding from the federal government, the White House announced on Wednesday. The company could receive up to $11 billion in loans tied to the legislation, which was passed in 2022. The awards highlight the scale of the Biden administration's push to subsidize semiconductor manufacturing on U.S. soil. And my question to the White House, why don't you just mandate it? Instead of giving all this money to corporations, just mandate they do this in the United States. Just like the federal government is mandating emissions in cars that will essentially make gas-powered engines obsolete come 2030 or 2034. So big corporations, they're not subject to mandates. We'll give you money. But the American people, no, you're forced into buying a certain type of car that we want. And you're going to pay the price. But corporations don't have to. And this is what's dangerous between this merger. The goal of big government and big corporations are to keep big government and big corporations going at the expense of the American people. It's clear. It can't be clearer than this. And this is a perfect example. This is not free market. This is not capitalism. It's mercantilism. And we're paying the price. And I just want you to think about this. Think about this one. Remember several years ago, Biden and Democrats passed these huge infrastructure packages, trillions of dollars. It was supposed to take care of United States' poor infrastructure. At least that's how they sold it to us. And again, it was a lie. Take a look at your roadways. Take a look at your bridges. Do you really see a lot of our infrastructure being repaired? No. And it's because it's not going to the things that the American people really need, like nice roadways, safe streets, safe cities. It's all going to take care of the people that are represented by the Washington lobbyists. So we shall see. Look, I understand that Mike Johnson's a Christian, but it doesn't necessarily mean that being a good Christian will make you a good Speaker of the House. And after seeing what is happening with this budget and what he's been doing with this budget, I just have to question his ability as being as a Speaker of the House. When he first got in, he said no more omnibus bills. Well, he snuck through a minibus bill the other day, overnight. And if you take a look at it, it could have been written by a Democrat. It does nothing to reduce the deficit. At first glance, it looks like it meets all the Democrats' agenda, not Republicans. And did I say he needed more Democrat votes than Republican votes to get this thing passed? Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene just introduced legislation that requested Mike Johnson to vacate his position. I don't know where that's going to go, but look, I just don't think Mike Johnson's going to be long for the course, no matter how you look at it. Come November, there may be a different makeup of Republicans in the House. Who knows if Donald Trump will back Johnson? I just don't know. But he's clearly not helping himself here. And you have to question whether he's the right guy for the job. Being a Christian doesn't make you tough. He may not necessarily have the skills to be an effective Speaker of the House. So we shall see. Oh my goodness, the mainstream media is really getting desperate regarding Donald Trump. And the two things I want to highlight is the George Stephanopoulos comment that Donald Trump is a rapist, and he cited the case in New York, civil case. And the civil case clearly said he was not a rapist. So Trump has responded with a defamation suit against George Stephanopoulos. Now, the second thing also is this bloodbath comment that the media has tried to morph into saying that Donald Trump threatens a bloodbath if he does not win the election. And that was misleading. Donald Trump was talking about the automotive industry and how if Joe Biden is reelected, there will be a bloodbath in the auto industry. Because he's pushing for EVs, which is going to put a lot of workers out of a job. Because they'll all be manufactured, or a good chunk of them will be manufactured in China or overseas. But expect more of this. And they're going to get so desperate. I'm just waiting for the whoppers that they're really going to come out with. It was this morning on Morning Joe. Morning Joe is out there, and he's got a picture of the front cover of the New York Post, and he's talking about, did you see those, it was over 100 migrants that just bum-rushed these border agents, something you don't expect in the United States. Looked like something in Eastern Europe. It's clearly something that we don't expect to happen in this country. And you think about it, if they're not going to respect our border guards, how are they going to respect our country? Just a bums rush. And Joe Scarborough is out there saying, this is Donald Trump's fault. Why is it Donald Trump's fault? Because it is. But expect more of this as they get more and more desperate. Just the lies that they will come out with Donald Trump. So we shall see. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about before I go is a study from Finland. And the study links woke attitudes to anxiety, depression, and unhappiness. Now, this is a surprise. So let me read a little here. It says here, an intriguing aspect of the study was its exploration of the relationship between critical social justice and mental well-being. The study found a correlation between higher agreement with critical social justice attitudes and increased reports of anxiety and depression. Agreement with the statement, if white people have on average a higher income than black people, it is because of racism, exhibited the largest positive correlation with anxiety and depression, and the largest negative correlation with happiness. Now, years ago, Michael Savage said that liberalism is a mental illness. And at first I disagree. I just felt sorry for these people. But the more and more I learn about these liberals and these woke people, I think he's right. And with this said, thank you very much for listening. You have a good week, and I will talk to you next Saturday.